listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 101. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the fully caffeinated,
but barely awake,
John Brownstone. Today we're talking about something we've mentioned in countless episodes, but we're finally going to talk about it for its own damn episode. Bad tapes.
You mean like bad cassettes?
Depends on how old you are. Bad VHS tapes?
Yeah, that too.
Bad 8-tracks? Bad CDs?
Ooh, 8-tracks.
Oh god, and then, I know, right? But think about the kids' age now. For them, it'll be what? Bad MP3 files? Like, what? It'll be bad downloads? Oh gosh, I already feel old. Can we get into the show?
Yes,
let's start the show. So, this week, what we're actually talking about is bad tapes. Let me say that again, since somebody got me a little derailed over there. What they are, how they affect your DS relationship, or really any relationship you might have, and what to do to help overcome them. We have no easy fixes, but we'll tell you how we work at it. So welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, we're sorry, and we're glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or Apple Podcasts. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on whichever app you use to listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM or on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC. Don't forget the PC, y'all. There's some lovely person out there who's already loving BDSM. We are loving BDSMPC. All links are in the show notes. You give me these looks while I'm doing this and I almost crack myself up and can't continue.
You're doing fine. Carry on.
Oh, okay. I can do the show? So we do have...
I'll just sit here and look at you.
You just sit there and look pretty. That's all. So we do have announcements for the beginning of the show.
Yes.
Real quick, the giveaway for the 100th episode is still going on.
Correct.
This is starting from the day this episode goes live on September 29th. There's a week left, so get your entries in. If you follow us on Twitter, you should see reminders every so often to go enter. If you yourself are on Twitter, you can enter every single day. Because you're going to pimp us out and you're going to pimp out GoToMeesh by tweeting a special message. But you can enter that way every day. There is another giveaway going on, though. Ooh. So I was cleaning through our sex toys, of which we have way too many. Way, way, way too many. If I knew how to rehome gently and barely use sex toys, like, I would do that. But I have to figure that out. Anyhow, but we have tons of lube.
Yes.
See, what happens, a lube company will say, hey, will you try our lube? And now, if you've been listening for any amount of time, you know how I feel about the Butters lube. It is our favorite. So I always feel a little bit like I'm cheating on the Butters when we try another lube. But I also know that there are so many options out there.
There are other options. You kind of got to
try things out. Mm-hmm. And before we discovered the Butters, we tried other lubes.
Yes.
So what this is, and people don't just send you like this little tube of, here, have sex one time with our lube and tell us. They send you a shit ton of lube when they send it, which is a wonderful problem to have.
Yes.
But now I have a mounting, growing stack of lube that I'm never going to use. Yeah. Nothing yet has replaced the Butters for us.
That's true. And you know, the Butters, while it is very good, and I do recommend it to everybody, it may not be for everybody, and they may have their own personal favorite.
Which is yet another reason why I'm willing to try other lubes. But this has now left us with a stockpile of lube that's just going to go to waste. So I thought, why not give this shit away? So I got
to find a good home for it.
I got a giveaway going on. So it started on September 28th and it runs for 2 weeks, which I think that means it ends on October 12th. And that's at KaylaLords.com. That's at my personal site. I called it a random lube giveaway because it is random. It is lube. It is random lube. It is a box of just like a hodgepodge of lube. So I would imagine whoever wins should find at least one type of lube in the box when they receive it that hopefully they like. And I've committed to, and I did not realize this, and I feel like I should have. So condoms can expire, and I knew that.
Okay, I did not know that.
Now you know that condoms can expire. So can lube.
Really?
Yes. So I've gone through and I've pulled out, and I'm going to double check it before I send it out.
Yeah.
Pulled out any lube that is close to expiring. Nothing has expired, but it's close. That way, if somebody gets it, if they don't immediately like jump on their partner or grab their sex toy or whatever and lube up, they've got time. So it's a random lube giveaway.
Whoever wins that has a job to do.
Right. A hand job, a wank job. I don't
know.
Get
on the money.
Hey. Oh, no, that's a different thing. Okay. Next. I'm committed to trying to do announcements. Not quickly, but there's a word. Concisely. Okay. Next announcement. We are about to go into October. So the Kinky Book Club has a new book for October. That it will be The Siren by Tiffany Reese.
Oh, good. Really?
I don't know how to say her last name. I know how to spell it because I have now typed it out about 100 million times in the past couple weeks. So yes, if you, you don't have to be a paying member to be part of Kinky Book Club. You can certainly read a book whenever you'd like without being a member of Loving BDSM. But if you are a member of Loving BDSM, you can join us in the forum. You can join the private group that we have within the community. And then I did pick the November-December book, and I'm calling it the November-December book because I do not want to keep up with multiple books for 2 months during the holidays. Ain't nobody got time for that shit.
No.
So I'm going with a very dear personal friend of mine who is an excellent writer, Oleana Plume.
Ah.
She has a brand new book out called Horatio Slice. It's a little bit of what paranormal. It's a lot of sexy, kinky stuff.
And rock and roll.
Yes. So there's a lot going on there.
Sex and rock and roll.
Right. And she's just an excellent writer. And I have not read the book yet. But she's posted like little extra stories she wrote outside of the book, and I'm like, oh, I do him. Oh yeah, I totally fuck him.
I think so. I would too.
I'm pretty sure you would. I'm totally sure you would. Okay, so all that information is in the Kinky Book Club forum on the Loving BDSM community. You have to be a member to do that. And I posted it in the private group for the Kinky Book Club. So if you are a member, great, that's there. If you wanted to be a member, you've been thinking about it, there. We are doing erotic fiction. It's not all nonfiction that we read.
I was even going to drag out my old Guitar Hero guitar and see if I could join the band.
Oh, no. there's nothing I can say to that that would either be genuine or would not get me in trouble. So we're going to move on. Last announcement really quick. For the top paying members of Loving BDSM, so you're at the top tier, which is, y'all, $7.99 a month. It's not like we ask for a lot of money, but that's the Kinky Fuckery group, and they get access to monthly meetings with us. I like Kinky Fuckery too. So the submissive meeting, for anybody who identifies as submissive, little slave, whatever, that side of the slash, even if you're a switch, that live stream is September 30th. It's Saturday, the day after this episode goes live, at 8 p.m. Central. That will be me and my little face in the video talking at people. So if you've been considering becoming a member and you're like, I'm not sure, this might be the time. If you are a member and you keep forgetting, this is your reminder. Submissive meeting, September 30th, 2017, 8 p.m. Central. And the link to access the live stream is in the forum. So ta-da, I did it. I did the announcements.
Cool.
And they only took 100. No, they didn't take 100 years. They took a few minutes, but 4 announcements in a few minutes. I think I might like be figuring this out. Brevity. Is that the word I want? Oh, it's too.
At 101 episodes, I hope so.
God knows. I know. You know, I used to sit down at this in front of this microphone and my stomach would turn over like, oh my God, I'm really going to do this. This is my voice. What if I say something wrong? I've now said something wrong at least 101 times because I've got 101 episodes and I've survived it. So now I sit down and I'm all like bouncy and ready to go and let's talk about it. And we're also really sad that we started having.
You're bouncy.
Did you just play with my boob?
Yeah.
He just zhuzhed my boob. And I don't know how to describe in words what I mean by zhuzh.
I gave it a jiggle.
He zhuzhed my boob. But my point was, before we get into the episode, like we're supposed to get into the episode, is that now we have gotten to a point, if we start chatting before we turn the mic on and it turns into like a good conversation, one of us will go, this is bonus material. Save it. Stop talking. But remember your point and be brilliant again later in an hour. I'm not sure I can do it, but I'll try. So I guess we should actually get into the episode, right? I'm only given enough free rein to ramble a little bit before we actually start.
Yeah.
I need to like reel it back in, don't I? Okay.
Yeah. Come on.
I know.
Come on, girl.
You know, I have to say though, this topic, I thought we were just doing this topic because, oh, it's time to do this topic at episode 101.
Right.
And then I think I got a little, had a little moment of my own this week with bad tapes.
Really?
Not relationship bad tapes, mm-hmm. but
I didn't think so because I tried to do a flashback there.
I know, right? Well, you do recall me crying last night in the recliner because
yes,
I have emotional issues with food.
Correct. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I'm.
You brought out the ire in me last night a little bit.
Well, earlier in the day, you'd kind of brought it out in me too. So we were sort of even, and we worked it out. But I know that that comes from a lot of my emotional issues around things. Some are about relationships, and some are about food, and some are about mm-hmm. memories, and some of the things that trigger me, and I can't have really strong, bad emotional reactions to things. I know those are all part of bad tapes because while we talk about bad tapes in the context of a DS relationship, they are more than that. And
true.
And so we should start by actually defining what we mean by bad tapes. So really it's your expression and you were the first person and you and I, to me, are now the only people I know who regularly refer to this way.
Actually, I borrowed the expression many, many years ago from a blogger friend.
Oh, okay. Okay. I just thought you were brilliant.
I am. we used to talk a lot. And we're still friends, but life has kind of gotten between us. Word Witch.
Oh, yes. I love Word Witch.
Yes. You know, her and her... partner Wolf are just kind of mired in life right now, yeah. And you know that's why they haven't been around for a while. But they're doing well. I did hear from her.
Oh, good, yay!
But she, in conversations with her many years ago, that's where the term bad tapes was born.
Okay, and that makes sense because she's a brilliant writer, so she's wonderful with words.
Oh yeah,
wonderful with words.
She definitely is a word witch.
Yes.
Her. Okay. I still go back to her blog.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to link to her in the show notes. So for us, what we mean when we say bad tapes are essentially the memories that we carry around with us, but they are more than the memories. They are the things that happen to us, and in this case, because we're calling them bad tapes, that are negative, that we carry with us into our interactions with other people. So,
and they tend to replay.
Right, and they replay.
Yes.
So you go through these things in your head, and then oftentimes in reality with your partner over and over again. It's like this endless loop, this endless cycle. And while we talk about it primarily within the context of a healthy relationship, I was sort of mentally preparing for this episode, I always like to think about the topic, which is why I gave you that funny look when you asked if we could shower together today, because I was like, well, that's my thinking time.
Right, I know.
So, taking a shower with you is certainly better than spending 15 minutes thinking about stuff. So it was a worthy sacrifice. But part of what I had been thinking previously about bad tapes is that I think we've all been there or known somebody. If it hasn't happened to you, you are very fortunate because it's definitely happened to me. And or we know somebody this happens to. We start dating the same exact kind of person over and over again. We marry the same kind of person over and over again. Mm-hmm. We fuck the same kind of person over and over again. We submit or dominate the same kind of person over and over again. And it always ends badly. And it's this loop you're in.
Right.
Where you can't seem to get out of this awful cycle of these awful relationships that are never going to end well. And it's the same type of person. Even if it's not, you know, on paper, you can go, oh, well, here are some key differences. It's like, yeah, let's go look for the key similarities, and that's where we'll probably find the problems. So bad tapes aren't just once you're in the relationship and you're trying to navigate it and you're trying to deal with all the baggage you carry from previous relationships. They are affecting you when you're just trying to get into a relationship.
Right.
So you look like you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say triggers can be a result of bad tapes.
Oh, absolutely. If you are emotionally triggered by something that happens, that is, in my mind, absolutely a bad tape playing in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even just about relationships. It's about let's put it this way. Every experience we have, good or bad, stays with us in some way. Even if we don't consciously remember it, especially mm-hmm. if it's a good thing, we very rarely consciously remember those. And we usually remember all of the really awful things. they stay with us in every part of our life with everything we do. So we interact with people at work, in our relationships, at the PTA meeting, wherever. And we are treating people not only by how they are treating us, but also by how we perceive our interaction. So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
There is a person in our local lifestyle who I will not name because she appears to be a lovely person. She looks, sounds, and talks like the only arch nemesis I've ever had in life. I am not the type of person who goes around collecting arch nemeses. I did in my last job. This woman was trying to take me down every single day. And had I crashed and burned in front of her, she would have laughed, danced on my grave, and then set fire to it and had a smoke afterwards because she was so satisfied. She hated my fucking guts. And I can honestly say it's not because I did anything to her. But it became like, my thing is, you don't like me, I'll just avoid you. I'm not going to do you harm.
Yeah,
I don't have time for that shit.
Yeah.
But I didn't like her either, because do you really like people who hate your guts? I try not to. So that these are really negative things and really negative experience. I mean, this woman really did try to do me harm professionally many, many times. So I meet this other person in our local lifestyle, looks like her, sounds like her, talks like her, laughs like her. I mean, every time I see her, I do a double take. It's almost a doppelganger kind of thing. I cannot form any sort of relationship with this woman. I cannot have a nice chat with her. I cannot sit down at the same table in an event because the bad tape of that last chick plays every time I see her. Now, intellectually, I know it's a completely different person.
Right.
No relationship at all to this other person. If I chose to work on that bad tape and said, you know what, I really need to get over this. This is toxic. This is hurting me. This is hurting her.
Right.
You know, if there was sort of an impetus to work through it, then I would, and I'd find a way to kind of to get myself out of that. I don't really have that impetus. It's not somebody I see very often. It's not somebody who has tried to reach out to me and form a friendship, which is fine. It's personally great because then I don't have to work through my bad tape. But that is an example of a bad tape that has nothing to do with kink, nothing to do with relationships, but it absolutely, I don't like to use the word triggered lightly because I am truly genuinely triggered by things, and so are other people.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things that when I see her, even if it's just for a split second while my lizard brain is in charge, my lizard brain goes, we don't like her. And then my intellectual brain goes, whoa, different person, calm down. It's okay. Take a deep breath, right? Those are the kinds of things we carry those experiences with us from one point in our life to the next,
right.
And they affect everything. But for the purpose of trying to build a healthy, functioning, hopefully long-term, if that's what you want, DS relationship, you have to acknowledge that they exist.
Correct.
Go inside enough to go, okay, how do these things affect me?
Mm-hmm.
How do they affect my interactions with my partner and other people? And what am I going to do about it?
Right.
So in the context of the very narrow scope of, oh, here's our nice little lovely relationship, in our case, DS, we have these bad tapes and we carry them with us from prior relationships.
Yeah.
So your bad tapes in your interactions with people in general can come from anywhere. What I've noticed, at least for us, and in a lot of conversations I've had with other people when they reach out with questions about their own relationship, the relationship bad tapes tend to stick with you from relationship to relationship to relationship.
True.
And sometimes it has nothing to do with, like, the example I gave of being reminded of the other person. I promise you, John Brownstone, you are nothing like my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I can still have a bad tape play and I can treat you like my ex-husband. Because there's something about the situation, not you, but the moment we find ourselves in time, that reminds me, that triggers that memory, and so therefore triggers that reaction.
Right. And I think that happens to everybody. I have that happen to me with you, too.
Oh, yes, I know. I am well aware. Now, the nice thing is, once you can recognize that something is a bad tape, then when it hits you the next time, as long as you're self-aware enough and you can go, oh, this is a bad tape moment.
Right. And that's the thing. You have to be self-aware of it, and you have to acknowledge what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I know in my case, I have to come to a screeching dead halt, step back for a second, and say, whoa, okay, I cannot react this way. This is a totally different situation.
Right. And I think it's difficult, and it is difficult for us, and we are very aware of our bad tapes, and it is difficult for people who are just hearing this concept for the first time and are mm-hmm. maybe thinking, oh, could that be me? I don't know. Maybe I'm the one exception out of a billion people.
It's difficult because part of the reason for bad tapes, good or bad, we as people condition ourselves.
Absolutely. It feels okay. normal to you.
So it feels normal. Yes, it becomes the norm. And it becomes a comfort zone.
Oh, yes. Anything any different.
Even though it's not healthy or it's not right. good, it becomes a comfort zone.
And that's because people resist change. Because yeah. it is, for a lot of people, especially if you've been sort of beat down and you're thinking, oh, God, everything sucks. You don't like the norm, but you know what to expect from this state of things, this right. norm that you're living in. So the idea of changing or shifting or doing something different put you out into the unknown, and even though it could be better, there's also that part of you that goes, but it could be worse. And I want to stick with the enemy I know instead of going out there on a limb. And yes, I might be surprised, and I will say most of the time you probably will be, but I also might get it worse, and then everything is worse and nothing's improved. And what did I do that for? Here, let's stay in our safety zone. Let's stay in our comfort zone. And becoming self-aware, this is before you start diagnosing your partner, okay? And I promise you, you will think about the concept of bad tapes, and the people around you, you will start going, oh, I know your bad tapes, and you'll list them for them. That is not a bad thing to be able to do. If you understand where the other person is coming from, it does help you interact with them. But if you really want to make this a two-sided kind of thing where you're both coming at this equally, you have to know your own bad tapes. Like, you can't just ignore, you can't go, oh, I'm fine, everything's fine, it's everybody else that has bad tapes. It does not work that no. way. We, as long as you are a living, breathing human being, moving through the world, having experiences, you have tapes. They are memories and experiences that play back on a loop. That is what they are, good or bad. I can remember, and this does not make me sound great, I'm sure, but I can remember a handful of times when I got praise from a teacher, from mm-hmm. a parent, from somebody I really admired. And those play back on a loop for me. And sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes I'm feeling kind of down, and I go back to like my eighth grade memory of this time when somebody thought I was great. And I'll go, oh, that's a good tape to play. That sounds really sad saying it out loud. I might not say that out loud ever again. And of course you can you're creating tapes all the time. I can think of how you sound when you say the term good girl. And that is a positive tape that I will play back when I know I've done something that you don't even know I've done yet that you would be proud of. I'll play that little tape and I'll get this little boost. But at the same time, if you were to yell at me for no apparent reason, like get really angry, which thankfully is not your personality, that because I have part of the stuff that goes on in my head is I cannot handle loud noises. That's a childhood kind of thing that has stuck with me. If you were to just yell at me and we didn't work it out, we didn't talk about it, I didn't understand what happened, all right. kinds of things can lead to creating a tape. That would be a bad tape for me going forward. So we're always living with them, and we are always creating them. And we can, I like to pull up the good ones, the positive ones at will when I can. Okay, I'm feeling down. Let me go back to a moment that was good. Let me remember that moment. Problem is, the bad tapes will kick your ass without you even knowing it.
Yeah.
And they'll do it when you're self-aware, when you know you have them, but they do it a lot less and they have a lot less power. Because when I sense that you're doing something that my mind is saying, oh gosh, this is like your ex-husband. Oh, we don't like it when it's like your ex-husband.
Right.
Danger, danger. Oh my God. You know, okay, the movie.
Danger, Will Robinson.
The movie Inside Out, where all the emotions are at the board.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a panic button. Okay. There. And it gets bad. Knowing that I've got that bad tape, knowing that I can start making those connections between what you do and what was done in the past, and it's a bad association, mm-hmm. I can go, whoa, stop, breathe. Is this reality, or is this just similar enough to freak you the hell out?
Mm-hmm.
And by being self-aware, then I can stop and go, ha, I'm having a problem. Hey, daddy, let's talk about this. Can we talk through this? Which is the best remedy for bad tapes that I know of, is just to talk through them.
Right.
But we get ahead of ourselves, because if you're still sitting there going, yeah, yeah, my partner, I've got a list of about 20 bad tapes and how they affect us. I can't think of a single one for me. Okay, I'm going to need you to take some time for yourself. Figure out what your bad tapes are. On the other hand, I know some of you are going, oh my gosh, yeah. Yes, I have this bad tape. I had this partner who yelled at me. I had this partner who called me names. I had one partner that did all of it. And I know from having talked to some of you have had really, really traumatic experiences with really awful partners in and out of kink. Mm-hmm. And you have been left with the ravages of that. I don't want to call you damaged, because that's not cool to me. But if you feel damaged, I would totally understand that. And you have to pick up the pieces when you get yourself out of that, however that happens, and you have to put yourself back together in some way. And if you didn't walk out of there with a bunch of bad tapes, I'd worry about your sanity, because how can you not? If somebody you cared for at some point turns to you and starts saying awful things to you, or lying to you, or cheating on you, or being abusive in any way, physical, mental, emotional, you bear the scars of that forever. Even when you deal with them, even when you find peace, even when you find a good, happy thing that sort of washes over those scars, the scars are still there, which means the bad tapes are still there. You know, my hope is for anybody who's got those kinds of severe bad tapes is that, one, you get the help you need. And that's not just about becoming self-aware. When you've got that kind of trauma, you probably need a lot more help than standing in your shower for 15 minutes thinking about your life the way I tend to do. But I also hope that you find the person who goes, oh, I see your bad tape, and here we're going to make a good tape. We're gonna record over that bad tape with a good tape.
Right.
So some of you are going to think we're crazy, and some of you are going to go, oh, I've got a list. I know every one of my bad tapes. Okay, so let's move on about the figuring out of the bad tapes, right? Because they can be anything. I cannot give you a checklist of all the possible bad tapes.
Right.
We did write a blog post of the five, what I would consider biggies. But even within those five, like, big topics, money, we did mention abuse.
Yes.
Trust, I think. Communication. There was another one. I can't think of it off the top of my head. We'll link to that in the show notes so you can see that. Within those topics and outside of those topics, and things that you might be the only person on the planet with that specific bad tape, and there's not a damn thing wrong with it, but it's not anything you're going to find on the list. Anything can be a bad tape.
Right.
So how do you know when a bad tape is playing? For me, it's when I find myself, and for me, this is because you and I are in such a good, healthy relationship where we fuss and we have moments we don't agree. God knows.
Nothing's perfect.
Nothing's perfect. But generally, we're good, right? Yeah. Like, we're both happy to be here. Neither of us is looking for the exit door. You're not allowed. I'm about to pay for a wedding. You're stuck with me now. But I start feeling emotions that I remember distinctly from previous relationships. That is how I know that something, even when I don't know what the bad tape is, that's how I know it's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't make me feel like the ex-husband and anybody else I was with before.
Right.
That was part of your selling point. You didn't make me feel that way. You make me feel genuinely good and wonderful, and I feel mostly nothing but warm fuzzies 99.99% of the time. Hey, you are warm and fuzzy, so that's hard to do.
That's true.
So for me, when I start feeling something that reminds me of the past,
mm-hmm.
and that is not just in my previous romantic relationships. So one of my bad tapes is yelling, because it is a true, genuine trigger. You yell at me in a harsh enough tone, it's fight or flight. I come out swinging, and I mean that verbally. I don't actually physically hit anybody. That's not happening. Or I run. I get the hell away from it. I cannot handle it.
True.
And that is from my childhood. That's from my father. So when your voice gets a little louder than I am used to, and it gets a little sharper than I am used to, I recognize it as a bad tape now, but in the beginning I didn't. When we first got together, the first time your voice raised just a little bit.
Yes.
I turned around. It was the least submissive moment of my life. And I said, do not yell at me. Ever. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm not yelling at you. Yes, you are.
And you see, that's something, because I come from a very, very big Italian heritage.
Loud Italian heritage. Yes,
you have witnessed that, okay, in its entirety. You get a bunch of Italians together.
It gets very loud.
It gets very loud. And the only way you get to be heard is to be louder.
Yes, I have noticed that. And I, in turn, when we are with your family, get very, very quiet.
Yes.
Because, it's one of those things, it's sort of like my example at the beginning with the person that we have, that I have met. On an intellectual level, I know that there's nothing wrong. I know there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I know what's happening. But the tape playing in my head still gives me a very physical and emotional reaction to it.
Yeah.
So it took us a while to figure out why I was constantly yelling at him not to yell at me. And we had been, I understood he had this concept about bad tapes, but we'd never really talked about them in the course of our relationship.
Right.
And so that was our first point, because I wasn't sitting there thinking, I have this bad tape and there's yelling. I'm thinking, I am being yelled at and I do not like it and I want it to stop now. I wasn't thinking, oh, this is a bad tape and I need to deal with this bad tape. No, I was having a very immediate reaction. And that's what happens to most of us. You are presented with a situation, a moment, an emotion, and it triggers a response. You respond just like you did or wanted to when the bad tape was created and every time since that bad tape has played. And there's nothing intellectual about it. Your brain is not involved. Your brain is not sitting there going, it might be in the back going, can we calm down for a minute? I think we need to look at this situation a little differently. Yeah. I think if you could just calm down and breathe, you would see that this is not
the same
your
thing.
Father from when you were eight, right? Like it's a different situation. But our lizard brain takes over. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe lizard brain apparently likes, he's got a Walkman. He's listening to tape. Maybe he's got an 8-track player. Maybe your lizard brain is old, okay? But lizard brain is putting the tapes on repeat.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not the only one with bad tapes. You just said you have bad tapes too.
Yes, I do.
And your bad tape is about money.
Yes.
And you know what's funny? Considering the lives that we've led, you would think I'd have the bad tapes about money, and I don't.
I have several bad tapes. Money is one of them.
That's the one that gets us the most.
Yes. The other one, a fairly big one for me, believe it or not, sometimes is the boys.
Well, yes. And knowing your history, that makes sense.
You know, especially when they get disrespectful.
Right.
That triggers me into a flight response.
I know. And I stand behind you, and I've had to teach myself to kind of prop you up.
Yeah.
But I've also, because you do have a fight or flight response, and yes, sometimes it's a flight, but sometimes you get stricter than you need to be. Now, we're going to get into how to talk about your bad tapes. It's not as difficult as you might imagine. It's actually way simpler. It's something you are hopefully already doing in your DS relationship. But I, without even knowing to call it a bad tape at the time, I understood what was happening because of all the conversations we'd had about your previous relationship and your previous life.
Right.
And so, and I had made my own mistakes when I was married. So when I was married, I would argue about the kids in front of the kids with their father. Big, like, massive parenting mistake. You never do that. You have to be a united force because kids are devious and they will see a crack and they'll split it apart. So I made the promise to myself and then of course to you that we were united in front of them. But now here's a convergence of bad tapes. So sometimes what you want to do is withdraw and retreat, and you are learning that the boys will just take that. They're like, oh, look, he gave an inch. I get a mile. So you have switched course a little bit, maybe as we've dealt with the bad tape a little bit, and you started feeling more confident and comfortable knowing I'm going to support you. And so what happens is you push back at them. And in some ways, I think they need it. I'm not saying this is a boy thing. My only experience with parenting is with boys, and what I know about my specific boys is if you don't get a little harsh with them sometimes, they don't they don't respect you and they don't take you seriously. Not overly harsh, not cruel, but just a little rough.
Stand your ground.
Yeah, like I'm not a pushover, you're not fucking pushing me over, right? So here's the problem. You're having the bad tape of, oh, this reminds me of what I went through before with other people. And so you have turned around and you get a little harsh.
I know.
And my bad tape plays because I'm witnessing what I experienced as a child with a parent. Not scream. You don't scream. That's not your personality, thank God. No. But getting a little louder, getting a little, the voice going a little harder, and it's just similar enough that I sometimes have to walk away because I'm having a bad tape moment. And so, thankfully, I recognize your bad tape. You recognize my bad tape. We have come together to agree on how we will parent together. So then we take our bad tape conversation into another room.
Yes.
And what happens is I'll say, I really feel like you were a little too harsh. That really bothered me. I can't breathe sometimes. I get tears in my eyes. It's, y'all, if you've ever actually been physically triggered by something, by a memory or something, you will know what I'm talking about. And it is overwhelming every time. And at the same time, he's going, but they will learn to respect me. I will not go through that again. I'm like, okay. Everybody breathe.
There it is.
Everybody breathe. And it is, this only works because we recognize it.
Right.
And so if we didn't recognize it, I'm sure if you think about it, this will sound familiar. I would be yelling at him to stop yelling at the boys. He would be yelling at me that they're not respecting him and he's not going to be disrespected. And neither of us is communicating. We are communicating in that scenario from a place of how we feel without seeing how the other person feels.
And the thing is that I really have no reason to get that way because they are good boys.
They are good boys.
And
but man, they'll push a button in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah. They know where the buttons are. And there are times they push them. And yeah, that is a big bad tape for me. And, you know, when those moments do happen, that tape just starts rolling.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, you can recognize it at a certain point, but you're not going to recognize it till you're in the middle of it. Like, the tape starts rolling and you start having this reaction and you start saying things or feeling things based on the memory and the situation in front of you. And you've got to get into it. Even just a couple minutes before you go, whoa, wait. Or sometimes you don't even recognize it until later when you've calmed down and you think back and you go, that was.
And here's the thing now. Let's go back to this a little bit. I have been working on that and doing rather well because a number of times when, especially recently, when the boys have... gotten a little rowdy.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You said to me afterwards, your blood pressure never went up.
I know.
Your voice never changed.
Yeah.
And yet.
I know. It was kind of weird. When I'm the one having a bigger reaction to how they're behaving than you are, I think, wait, am I overreacting? So let's talk about this. So I could identify and understand what your bad tape was.
Mm-hmm.
One, because you use that language with me. So for people who are just now thinking about this in terms of so-called bad tapes, which is just a metaphor, y'all, their memories, their experiences, you can use whatever term you want. The big question is somebody's going to go, yeah, but how do you know something's a bad tape? And here's the first thing, and it is the biggest thing, and if you're not already doing it, your DS relationship is not going to go well anyway. You talk to each other.
Right.
And you don't just talk to each other about, oh, I really like this kink. And, oh, yeah, smack my face, smack my ass, pull my hair, whatever. Yes, those are very important things to talk about in terms of how you're going to get your kinky fuckery on. But we're talking about navigating long-term relationships. And I do not mean just romantic, sexual, I'm going to marry this person relationships.
Any relationship.
It is any relationship you have with another human being. How you're going to navigate interacting with a person on any level, on any intimate level, okay? Friendship, family member, lover, the guy who hires you to, you know, beat his ass once a week and yet genuinely like him as a human being, you know, all of these things. Because bad tapes don't just play when you're sitting around the dinner table and the 12-year-old smarts off. They can play when you're getting kinky.
Yeah.
They can hit, because it depends on what the tape itself is, okay? We talk about emotional triggers and why you have to, you know, have a safe word and play safe and check in with each other. An emotional trigger to something that you are physically doing in your kink is just another way of saying it's a bad tape. Something has happened previously, and now your lizard brain senses a similarity and reacts based on the tape playing in your brain. So the biggest, best way to figure this out is to actually know the person you are forming whatever kind of DS relationship you are forming with them, or any relationship, to talk to people, to connect, to be vulnerable. I've been reading a lot of Brené Brown, so there's a lot of vulnerability and empathy in my head right now. thoughts, the things I'm thinking about. To be vulnerable with the other person and say, this thing happened to me and it still bothers me when I think about it, or this thing happened and I'm still not completely over it. You know, when John Brownston and I were getting together, you know, of course, in the very beginning, it was light and we flirted and we both knew, you know, I knew he was a dom, he knew I was a sub. So yeah, we talked about our kinks. But, and this is why we strongly recommend a friends first kind of mentality for your long-term DS relationships. Eventually we got into the conversations about life. And
yeah.
What was your life like? What was your childhood like? Tell me a memory. Tell me about your bad marriage. What happened? And it wasn't just a way to say that we were talking so I could sort of, you can check off a box. You had to listen to each other and take in that information. Now, is there going to be a pop quiz on the conversation later? No. So you might have to hear a story a couple of times or in a couple of different ways before you understand the importance of it. But when you were talking to each other in an effort to truly learn about each other, not just to say, oh, yeah, we talked, it was great, ha, 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 and it was very superficial, but on a very deep level, then you can start seeing patterns of, oh, that was clearly something that bothered him. You know, when Daddy would talk to me about how his previous relationships had gone and how he had been treated and how they made him feel, those were difficult conversations for him to have. First of all, as a dominant and as a man, and I think you could separate those, it'd be difficult for a lot of men because of how they're raised. I think it's difficult for dominance in general because of the persona they think they have to keep. But then combine that. So as a dominant and a man, he is telling me, these are moments when I felt low and I felt unworthy and I felt unloved and I felt forgotten, and it was an awful, awful period. So first of all, he had to have enough trust in me that he could tell me those things,
right,
and that I would not react bad or laugh at him or blow him off. And then I had to have enough integrity and be the person he believed me to be and sit and listen and sit with the uncomfortable feelings. Nobody wants to think. Now I'm a loyal person, so I don't want to think about it in the sense of, who was fucking with you? I will cut a bitch. Who's been messing with you? Like, that's my reaction. But other people's reactions might be of a sort of discomfort of, oh, I couldn't have imagined you feeling that way. And your initial reaction, because it might jar you, you might not have a great first reaction. Your job when somebody tells you something that important and deeply personal and vulnerable is to sit there and freaking listen. That is your job.
But see, that's why I knew I had to tell you these things. I knew I had to make myself vulnerable because I needed to know that I was not going back into a similar cycle.
Right. Like, you could open up to me and I would not react in ways you were familiar with, which had created the bad tapes in the first place, that I would react with empathy.
I was trying to break that mold. I had to break, in order to get away from that, I had to break the mold.
And that is another thing about bad tapes. Once you know them, once you see them, whatever you might call them.
It's easier said than done.
Whoa, way easier said than done, for sure. It takes a conscious effort to break away from them. So in order to share the information so that your partner understands what you're dealing with, what your past is, what plays over and over again in your mind like a bad tape, you have to open yourself up to be vulnerable enough to say it, and you have to be looking for their reaction. Now, nobody's perfect, and some people don't have great first reactions. That's why if you are the person on the receiving end of that kind of very personal, poignant moment, your job is to listen, and whatever your reaction is, you keep that shit in your head, unless your reaction is, come here, let me hug you, let me hold you, let me hold your hand, I am so sorry, that was wrong. If your initial reaction is not supportive, you keep your initial reaction in your head until it can be, or until you can be honest and go, oh, we are going down a path I'm not ready for. Yeah. Hard stuff to do.
Yeah. And not everybody can initially react in a way. I mean, even me, in some cases, people tell me something and I'm like, and it's not that I don't feel empathy for the, sometimes I need some time to think about
it. And you don't always know how to react.
Right.
And the thing is, the reason I emphasize this is somebody with a bad tape is programmed for a negative reaction. They are programmed to see anything even remotely not immediately open and welcome as something about them. It is one of the hardest things we do, one of the most rewarding, but one of the hardest things we do is open ourselves up to vulnerability. And when you do that, and the thing you see back is anything your bad tape is telling you, see, you told them and they think you're a freak, right? That causes more problems. So if your initial reaction is confusion, I need to think, I'm not sure how to feel about this, be honest, don't lie, don't pretend something you don't feel.
Right.
But watch yourself very carefully, because you are dealing with somebody who's just opened up their guts to you and they're like, look at my guts, what do you think? Okay. That's a sacred honor to have that. And in DS, we need more of that for these long-term lasting relationships. Do they happen overnight? No. Can you do this on a checklist? Okay, yesterday we talked about your favorite color, and today I'm going to tell you about a childhood trauma of mine. Probably not. I know there are people out there who exist that, and they're so sweet when they do it to me. They're like, I know I'm oversharing here. Because I'm not wired that way, I don't understand that ability, but I know there are people out there who, yes, yesterday they told you their favorite color and today they will tell you their childhood trauma.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just how they interact with the world. I'm not that type of person. So there's no timeline. There's no, you have to do this before you do that. You have to spill your guts before you get kinky. That's not what we're talking about. This is in the whole messy ball of how you form the relationship. These conversations have to be in there somewhere at some point.
Yeah.
And you both kind of have to do it. If you're walking through life thinking that you either don't have to share your deep, dark secret guts and be vulnerable to this person that you're going to either be entrusted to have power over them or be controlled by them, then I don't think you're ever going to have that deep, meaningful DS relationship you're looking for. You can have some superficial kind of things. Or if you're walking around going, oh, I have no bad tapes, nothing bad has ever happened to me, I'm going to ask, have you been interacting with the world? Have you been living in a bubble? Are you living like on another planet? I would like to go visit that other planet where nothing bad ever happens to you. I think we all have to a more or less degree at least a bad tape, at least something that when we encounter it kind of out in the wild, we react like we're 8. We react like 20 years ago with that first spouse. We react with that first boyfriend who was awful. Whatever it may be, you're going to react.
Right.
And do not question, why do I always react this way? Why does this always bother me? Especially if you find, and I have found this to be true, with myself, and I've seen you do it, Daddy. So what I'm saying is, I think it's a more universal thing. I don't think it's just me or just you. I think this happens to everybody. Is the bad tape plays, you don't know it's a bad tape. You don't even have the concept in your head of what a bad tape is.
Right.
You react because you're remembering what happened here, but you're treating the situation today like
as the same,
which is essentially what happens in a bad tape. And then you walk away from it, and maybe it's a day later, maybe it's a week later. You go, Oh God, I totally overreacted to that, didn't I? Not every time you overreact, but most times if you're overreacting to something, that's probably a bad tape. That is probably
a possibility. Yes.
There's a good chance if you dive into it that you're going to go, oh yeah, that was a bad tape because I reacted to a memory and not to what was happening in front of me, not to all of what was happening in front of me. I reacted to this one thing, this one memory that turned on in my head. Mm-hmm. That's a bad tape. And so they can be huge and big where you have survived trauma in your life and you carry around this stuff with you. I don't like to use the term baggage because baggage is such a loaded word.
Yes.
It's, you know, everybody has baggage. Everybody. If you have been living in the world, you're carrying around some baggage. We're just going to call them bad tapes. Okay. That's all that is. So I get very sort of annoyed and eye rolly. Like, if I don't know why my eyes haven't rolled out of my head yet with all the eye rolling I do in general. It's a thing I do. Watch our YouTube videos, you'll see. it's just what I do. But I do get very eye rolly when I hear, oh, I don't want anybody with baggage. Oh, you would like a mannequin? You want a sex robot? Like, what do you want? Because if you want to interact with a human being, they're coming with baggage, and so are you. Baggage, bad tapes, pick your word. You still have to deal with it. You still, with baggage, you're unpacking it. With bad tapes, you're recording over it. That's what I like to say now. To turn a bad tape into a good tape, you got to kind of record over it.
Yeah.
So recognizing, oh, I will get that word out, that you have bad tapes. Okay. Recognizing that your partner has bad tapes. Very good. Figuring out how to share them. That's all about communication. That's all about sharing the ugly stuff you've survived, mm-hmm. or the and you know, not everybody,
and allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Not everybody is worthy of knowing those deep dark memories, those bad tapes, and sometimes we don't know that until too late, and it is hard, and it adds to your bad tapes. At that point, it makes you more nervous the next time, and that happens to all of us. I hate it for anybody that it happens to. I have so many trust issues that I don't make myself vulnerable to partners easily or often. So I've avoided a lot of pain that way, but I've also avoided and missed out on a lot of good because of that. But when you find the person who...
We're working on that one.
I know, I'm working on it. When you find the person that is worthy of it and accepts it and says, I now see more of you. You are not less to me because you told me this thing. You are more. There's more of you now. There's an added depth I didn't know before, and we will work through this together, and I accept you as you are, and you are worthy, and you are wonderful, and all these things that we need to have at least one person in our life who feels that way. Then it becomes easier to start working on, okay, I've got the bad tapes. I got to live with the bad tapes. What do we do about the bad tapes?
Right.
And the only things I have found, and if anybody's got any better answers, I would love to hear them, is recognizing them, pointing them out as soon as you can. So sometimes, like we've talked about already, sometimes you don't realize that was a bad tape till you're out of the situation. You go, oh, fuck, okay. That wasn't about you, that argument we just had 10 minutes ago. That was about me, and here's why. So you have to recognize it, and then you have to talk about it. And
yes.
And what I like to do, what we have done, because it works for us, it might not work for you, you might have to find another method. If I recognize a bad tape happening, either yours or mine,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the moment I recognize it, doesn't matter when it is, I go, whoa, stop, time out, bad tape,
yep.
Here's how it works. So we talked about the bad tape he's got with the kids from previous relationships, which he does excellent with them. They adore him. They also hate our guts because we're mean parents. And I feel we're doing a good job when the kids hate you because you're mean to them. When they're safe enough to say, you're so mean, I'm clearly doing something right. But the other one he's got is about money and how the partner in his life handles money and spends money. And so we have a lot of conversations right now about money. Oh my God, I'd love to not have to talk about money. And we'll all start talking about, okay, well, we need this and we need that and we're going to have to get this and we're going to have to do that and blah, blah, blah. And he'll just bristle. Like, okay, we've talked about how he's a furry, fuzzy man. It's not literal, but it's what happens in my head. It's almost like all the hairs on his body stand up like a porcupine. Just prove that. And it's something about his demeanor and it's something about the way he cocks his head. And then it's the tone that comes out of his voice. And he starts talking to me in a certain way that he would not normally talk to me. And now I will not say the person's name, but I know the person who gave him that bad tape. And so I will say, I am not. And then I use that person's name.
Yes.
And it is, and it's in the middle of the argument. It's in the middle of the, not even argument, discussion, where I'm recognizing that he's treating me based in a way that's based on what happened before, because he's making assumptions about what I'm talking about or what I'm planning based on this bad tape that's being played. And so I'll cut straight through it. Yes, I'm the submissive, but some shit I just say, and this is one of them. And I go, I am not, put that person's name in. And it's like a cold water being thrown on your head or something.
Yeah.
Like you go, what, wait, what?
Huh?
And it jolts you enough that you step out of it for a little bit.
Right.
And then you go, oh, I see what I was doing. Okay, take like a two-second inventory. Like, what was I just doing? And then we can move forward with the conversation.
And I have worked on that enough that I'm better about that now.
You are. It's very rare that I have to do it. And it's usually only in really high-tension moments. You know, the past month where we've, you know, bought all new groceries. And we've got the wedding to pay for. And we've got all this stuff. And we've got blah, 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 blah. Typical money stuff that most people go through. It's happened a couple more times, but that's the other way to combat them, these bad tapes. The more you point them out when you see them happening. Now, here's the thing. The only reason I can point out his bad tape as it's happening is because we are both in agreement that one, the bad tapes exist. Right. That's an important agreement to come to. Two, what they are. Okay, so I can't just diagnose him with a bad tape. He's got to buy into it. I know some of you are out there going, oh, yes, my partner, here's this list of 20 bad tapes. You can think that those are bad tapes, and you might even be right. If your partner does not buy into this, you cannot walk around going, every time you see them yelling about something, going, oh, that's a bad tape over there. That's not going to end well for you.
No.
That's going to end in another argument. This is one of those things that you got to talk about. You got to be on the same page. You got to agree on this. And then you can go, oh, you're having a bad tape moment. Because he understands that I'm not throwing that around lightly, because we have each openly said, oh, these are the things that I'm telling you, they will elicit a bad response.
Right.
We have the trust between each other that when we see it happening to the other one, we can go, this is not what you think it is.
Right. See, I didn't go around pointing out your bad tapes.
You are welcome to point out my bad tapes. Well, I wish more people would.
I mean, initially.
No, yeah, definitely not.
I acknowledged the bad tapes in me first.
Which is what allowed me to feel that it was safe to acknowledge my bad tapes, even if we didn't call them that.
We didn't sit there calling out.
Right. It wasn't this back and forth thing of, well, I had this happen to me. Oh, really? I had this happen to me. He had this moment where he tells me what he feels is important for me to know, but he feels could be a deal breaker, could hurt our relationship, could change how I see about him. And I think that was the part that bothered me so much, is at the end of that conversation, he was like, I really thought that you would see me differently. And I was not upset with him. I was upset for him. But having that intimate moment, and it wasn't even the same day, it probably wasn't even the same month, having that very vulnerable, intimate moment where he confessed these things that he feels are negative about him, and really, they said more about the other people involved than they did him, as a lot of things will sometimes do, then I felt safe enough later to say, okay, here are some, you know, ugly gut things about me. Do with them what you will. Like, I was a little bit more fatalistic. Like, I was constantly waiting for this thing to end. So I would actually sometimes throw out something that I found awful about myself to see, okay, this will be the thing that drives me away. I'm going to tell him this thing and I'll never hear from him again. And it worked for us because it allowed us to share all that yucky stuff, all those bad tapes, and become closer. So your method of doing that will be different. Maybe you've been together for a long time and you've already disclosed that stuff, and so now it's time to start thinking about it differently. But yeah, do not point out your partner's bad tapes until they've bought into the idea that they even have them and what they are.
It's
that's not cool.
I don't want to. It's one of those things where it is and it isn't. It's almost like being an alcoholic, maybe.
Like an addiction of some sort?
Like an addiction of some sort.
Maybe.
Where, you know, you can't really fix it in somebody else. They have to acknowledge it themselves.
Yes. But what I would say, because it's not, in a way that it's not like an addiction of any sort, when you understand, even if your partner doesn't quite know about it yet, like you're listening and you're like, oh yeah, I'm totally on this, and you're taking notes. I know some of you. You're taking notes and you're going to rush off to talk to your partner about it. Okay. So between the time that you decide that, yes, I agree with this, and you, your partner goes, yes, I agree with this. Here's the thing that you can do, though, that you can't do necessarily, you shouldn't necessarily do with anybody else, mm-hmm. I don't think. If you recognize patterns of behavior in your partner and the things that cause stress, anger, mistrust, and you recognize that's a bad tape. What you can do, and this is how gets back to our larger point of how to deal with bad tapes, how to overcome them in some ways, you can modulate how you treat the other person. So if you know that using a certain tone of voice sets your partner off because they have a bad tape, you can control yourself
right.
to change that behavior. It's hard. It's not easy. I'm not going to pretend it is. But you, once you become aware of what's happening with your partner, even when they're not aware of it yet themselves, you can adjust things about yourself. People adjust things about themselves with a person who has addiction to sort of help and mitigate problems, but that doesn't actually help the person. In this case, I would say it is a difference between that kind of thing, between that metaphor and that mm-hmm. analogy. And now that's what I want, an analogy. In that, if I know that your bad tape is disrespect from the boys, what I'm doing, and I do it, is I focus on that. And I remind them, you need to show respect. You need to be polite. Right. Say, yes, sir. You know, these things to mm-hmm. help you.
True.
Because you can't make a bad tape go away. I don't want anybody to walk away from this episode, this conversation, thinking that we're saying, oh, you can just erase all bad tapes.
It doesn't happen.
They are all still there with you. I think you can record over them. I think people who are consistent, have earned your trust, do things that are trustworthy, help you combat those bad tapes.
You can learn how to control your reactions
yes,
to a bad tape
you can.
When they play.
Absolutely. You can also learn, and again, none of this is fast. None of this will just happen for you. Especially the bigger the batter, the
no,
tape, the harder it is.
No, it's not fast, because basically what you're doing
you're reconditioning yourself. You're reconditioning yourself.
Yes.
So each time, if it's just a smidge better than the time before, that is definitely improvement. The fact that you're trying is automatic improvement. The fact that you're aware of your bad tapes is automatic improvement.
Yeah.
But if each time you catch yourself during, after, way after, it doesn't matter, and you go, that was a moment that was not about the person in front of me, it was about the memory behind me, it was about this tape in my head, and then you talk about it. You talk about it with your partner. Maybe you talk about it with a therapist or a friend, somebody who understands. Whoever you've got, I will always go for, please talk to your partner. This is the whole point of this conversation, is to help you build a long-lasting, strong DS relationship.
Yeah.
So please talk to your partner. But in some cases, they're not available, or that's not enough, and you need to talk to somebody else. I work through bad tapes every single session with my therapist, and we are unearthing so many that I said, can we go back to seeing every 2 weeks, please? Because I got stuff in my head. So seeking out a professional is certainly
yes
a way. What I have found is the more, because my bad tapes for me hit when I sense a similarity in behavior or tone or treatment or whatever from John Brownstone. If something he does reminds me of something that happened and it's a negative thing, then I react based on a bad tape. The more he is consistently not anything like that, the more he is open and honest and kind and patient. God knows he's patient. and everything the other people weren't, the less often and less severe my reaction is to the bad tape.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the bad tape go away. What it does is a good tape supersedes.
Right.
So that becomes a more distant memory. That becomes that's not my go-to. My brain does not automatically, now I've got the jukebox analogy in my head, doesn't automatically pick that record. Does anybody know what a record is anymore? Pick that record up and start playing it. It picks a new one. It picks a different one, because my experiences say, dealing with you, the man in front of me, my good tapes know that you are going to be kind and patient
yeah.
and loving, and that you love me. And that's ultimately the way to overcome bad tapes, is to make good tapes with the right person.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other things you want to do, especially if they're really severe. I'm talking to anybody who's been an abuse or a victim of violence or abuse of any sort. Professional help. You know, you are not weak. If you need to talk to a therapist, There's nothing weak about it. One of the strongest things you can do is to open up your mouth and go, let me tell you all this icky stuff in my head that I think I'm supposed to hide. You know, that's not something you should tell everybody on the planet. No. Because not everybody's worthy of that. But it takes strength to sit down with a professional and say, here, let's crack open my brain a little bit. And can you help me sort through this gunk?
Shine a little light in there.
Right. So, you know, when it's a truly awful, awful bad tape and bad memory and bad situation you have found yourself in, professional help is certainly maybe the best way to deal with
right.
it. But in the context of a DS relationship, when it's just that relationship gunk or that childhood gunk, a lot of it is being with a person who helps you create memories, go-to memories that you pull right. out when you need of something better.
And a person that you trust enough to allow yourself to be vulnerable with.
Yes. The whole thing about bad tapes, admitting them, talking through them, working to fix them, trying to make them better, that's all about vulnerability, because yeah. you have to be able to say to another human being, this thing, however big or small, this thing happened to me and I have carried it with me the rest of my life. I can tell you one that I don't think I've ever said out loud to anybody. And, you know, people wonder, you know me, I'm you as in John Brownstone, the man I'm looking at. I forgot, y'all can't see me. What, we're not sitting around a big kitchen table together right now? I think I have, you know that I'm not a sentimental person.
Correct.
Much yes. to the chagrin of like my children who are like, why won't you keep all these 50 million papers I come home with? Because your mother is not a sentimental person. I've always sort of thought I was a little weird about, I'm not sentimental about where I went to elementary school, middle school, high school, even college. I don't go to my reunions. I form attachments with one or two people. Mm-hmm. And then usually there's enough stuff. I was a very awkward child, teenager, college student. First day of college, I fell off a curb and sprained my ankle and was on crutches for 2 weeks. Only to be told that the reason my blood pressure was up at the walk-in clinic was because I was overweight. It's actually smaller than I am now. Right. At least I had enough in me to go, you don't think it's because I fell and hurt myself on the very first day of college when I've never lived away from my parents before. And I did it in front of everybody and got laughed at and walked around on this ankle for 8 hours rather than admit I hurt myself. You don't think that might have anything to do with my blood pressure? So I'm not a sentimental person. Okay. I am not a sentimental person. I do not form a lot of attachments to a lot of memories and places I don't want to go back and revisit. I find Facebook very painful. Elementary school friends have friended me and I've gone, yeah, sure, I think that's what I'm supposed to do. But I don't have a connection. And when I think about why that is, there's a lot of reasons, I'm sure. One of them is I have a very clear memory of elementary school. So you have to understand a little bit about me. I hit puberty in elementary school. I had zits at age 8. I mean, pizza face zits at age 8. I was wearing a bra between 8 and 9. I was on my period by age 9. Total full-blown puberty right in the middle of elementary school. I was also one of those straight-A student, always had my hand up for the teacher, teacher's pet. I was a delight. I was awkward. I was taller than everybody else. I had curves when nobody had curves. I thought I was fat. Nope, just curvy. Very awkward. And I have memories that play in my head sometimes, especially when the mean girl voices in my head tell me I'm not a good writer, I'm not a good podcaster, I'm not a good this, I'm not a good that. I have a very clear memory of sitting in an elementary school classroom with all of the boys in the class laughing at me after the boy who sat behind me had called me a name. Now, what's funny about this memory is I don't remember what the name is. I don't remember that part at all. I remember being called a name. I remember my whole body flushing with heat from being mortified. I remember desperately wanting to sink down into the desk and hide, and I was too big. I like could have sat at the teacher's desk and been more comfortable. I remember all of the girls laughing. I remember all of the boys laughing. I remember the boys saying whatever that word was for the rest of the day. And from that moment on, whenever I went from school to school to school, place to place to place, one friend maybe, I did not form attachments. And to this day, I don't have attachments to those things. I don't have sentimental thoughts and feelings about it. That is my bad tape that has carried mm-hmm. through. And it's not anything I've ever told anybody. And yet it lives with me every fucking day. And that's the negative power of a bad tape.
Bad tape. Yeah.
That has nothing to do with a past relationship. It's how I was treated as a kid. But that mean girl voice in my head always comes the picture of that moment in that classroom where it was one of my lowest points as a child, and it is still with me to this day, and it still affects how I am. And I've never told that story. And somebody's going to go, oh, yeah, that happened to me too. Well, that's lovely. This is how it's affected my life. You know, this is still with me almost 30 years later. You know, I still carry that around. I can still close my eyes and hear the laughter and see their faces and mm-hmm. feel the heat in my body.
Yep.
That is a bad tape.
Yeah.
And we all have them. And when they affect how we interact with people and in our relationships and in our life, then they have to be dealt with, or we're just going to keep going through these same loops over and over again. We're going to keep picking the same bad partners. We're going to keep entering the same bad relationships. We're going to keep working the same shitty jobs. We're going to keep doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results every time.
And it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't want to end the show on a downer note. I'm not going to cry, but I could give me 2 more seconds and I could.
But I, you know, the point of all this is, you know, we all have our tapes. It is a very deep and personal subject for many people on a lot of different levels. But you know what? It's not the end of the world either.
And you can overcome them.
You can overcome them. You can make things better. And that's the high point to all this. It's not a brick wall.
No.
Okay.
It's not. It can feel like when you're trapped in them and you haven't shared your deep dark guts with anybody, and you don't think you have a partner who can handle it or will handle it. It can feel like this is where you're at and you're stuck and things are never going to change. And it is amazing what can happen when you find one person that you believe, even if you're wrong, because we all get it wrong sometimes, but you believe is worthy of your vulnerable moment of saying, this thing happened to me and it affected me this way and it continues to affect me today. Please read Brené Brown. I think she's wonderful. having that singular moment can be the starting point, a very long, slow journey, by the way, but the starting point of getting away from that brick wall and out into the open and creating something better for yourself and your relationship.
I mean,
this is one of those things that you can take as, on an individual level, you can use in your DS relationship. I'm hoping that somebody out there went, that makes so much sense. No wonder I always get mad when he has that tone of voice, when she makes mm-hmm. that face. And we always have to, and I always overreact. I hope that somebody can take away from this episode something to make their relationship better, their life better, something that you didn't know before
mm-hmm.
about yourself.
Yep.
Or that maybe something about your partner makes a lot more sense now. And you're like, oh, but before I diagnose their bad tapes, let me think about mine for a second.
Yep. Okay.
You know, the sad thing is, you know, normally I like to say, is there anything else we could say about bad tapes? The thing is, we could talk for hours.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna.
No.
If for any reason we come up with another angle to this or something else we can add, maybe we get some feedback from people who are maybe professionals and understand this better than we do, then we will be happy to revisit this conversation.
Yeah.
But we got to stop it somewhere.
Yes.
And thank you for giving, for allowing us to lift up, because I was like, oh God, did we just end it on do I have my crickets crying? That's not cool.
No.
That's not how I like to end episodes. So this has been a very long discussion on bad tapes. As always, if you have opinions, experiences,
thoughts,
a professional opinion, I know there are some professional therapists and counselors and psychologists and scientific-y people and people who study this stuff, and they have PhDs and masters and they think about this stuff for a living. I know y'all listen because you have emailed me before. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear them. If you're like, oh my God, I know all my bad tapes now, you know, and here, there's, We want to know that too. Feel free to reach out to us. Feel free to share, especially if you have a way of looking at it or a way of dealing with bed tapes that we didn't bring up. God knows, we're always looking to learn. So feel free to share. You can talk to us at lovingbdsm.net. If you're in the community, you can talk to us in the forums. But we also have our contact link at lovingbdsm.net.
Yes.
You can talk to us on Twitter at lovingbdsm. You can talk to us on FetLife, lovingbdsmpc. You can talk to us individually.
We're all over the place.
We are all over the place. We're just spreading it around.
Yep.
Ooh. That was an innuendo, right?
Yes,
made an innuendo. stick around if you're interested. If you are a cricket or would like to become a cricket, stick around. We will have a bonus section.
Yes.
It'll be fairly brief, I think.
Maybe. Kind of, sort of.
No postcards this week, so it'll be brief. Okay. So, but if you've got like a life to live and you're like, I'm tired of hearing their voices, cool. We're done. We're good. Go live your life and think about bad tapes.
On that note,
keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Can I? Please?
No.
Oh, Daddy, please.
No.
Please. Think of the crickets. And I entice somebody who's new to stay, and they're like, what the fuck is happening over here? Please. I have a coffee rant.
I know you. Go for it.
So first of all, no postcards.
No.
Postcards. Second of all, I
know for a fact we do have one on the way.
I know of a couple that we have on the way. I've gotten some emails. I put my postcard in the mail. Yay! But they just have not arrived yet. That is okay. We will get some. You actually have given me a break from having to feel bad about not responding to them fast enough. So I appreciate that. And I also feel like I think our passionate belief in bad tapes came through that episode.
Yeah.
I really hope we were coherent. Unfortunately, we don't have time to sit back and re-listen to an entire episode to double check ourselves. So we just sort of like do it, throw it up against the wall and just put it out there, whatever it is. So hopefully that made some sense to people. I was on a coffee tear before we started recording.
Yes.
So
oh God.
I mentioned I had the food bad tape thing last night. So we're back to working on, first of all, I think I said this last week. I realized I'm about to get married and I got to fit into my dress. That was when I got it, was an exact perfect fit. Meaning, yeah, if I lost a few pounds, it'd fit better, but I was not allowed to gain an ounce. And then I puffed up like a puffer fish. And not because I gained fat, but because I was eating things that are unhealthy for me personally.
Right.
Like I can't eat bread and I can't have a lot of sugar. And there are there's certain foods I just can't eat anymore without having a very physical and negative reaction. And so, I finally got to a point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even recognize myself in the mirror. And we had done this thing and he's, you know, daddy's watching my food intake and I'm positive reinforcement with stickers. And I had a really great week. And my treat for getting it well done for the week was forced orgasms and bondage. That's always a good time. But one of the things I have done is I have really, two things. I've limited my coffee intake, not because I can't have coffee, but because I always want it way sweeter than it should be. And so then I get hopped up on sugar that I don't need. That's not good for me. And also, I am allowed to have certain like bread like products, but they have to be a really rare occasional treat. And I handed that over to daddy to say, here's when you can have this thing. Right. But I have trust issues even now, even all this time later. And I have food issues because my childhood was spent being told, eat everything on your plate. And then in the next breath, why are you eating so much? Like that was my life.
Oh God.
Right. So yeah, you could see why I might have issues with food. I'm also a very emotional eater. It's a comfort thing for me, which is not healthy. I'm aware. And it's been very, very stressful the past couple weeks because I'm working on big projects that if I get them done by the end of September, that's what pays for the wedding. So it's like, there's a lot of pressure.
Yes.
And
yes, there is.
With all that stress and all that pressure, I want my comfort foods because they, for 5 minutes, make me feel better, make me think I feel better. And daddy made brownies last night. And he wouldn't tell me that he was making brownies. I figured it out. I can smell. And then he wouldn't. Nobody got brownies last night because they got made so close to when the boys went to bed that there were other dessert options and that's whatever. But he would never say, well, yeah, you're going to get a brownie, or, oh, we'll eat these tomorrow. He never said anything. And I had a temper tantrum.
Yes, you did.
I was not screaming, though. I was crying. No. I was just, oh, my gosh.
And you were very, very snarky.
Yes, I was. In retrospect, I see that I was at the time.
You did not.
No, I did not. I was so sad. I was so sad because there are these beautiful brownies over there. And my daddy won't tell me if I get to have one. And at the same time, I'm an iced coffee lover. I will drink a hot coffee. I drink hot coffee every morning, but I love, love, love iced coffee. And yet, because they're easy to drink and I love them so much, that's where a lot of my sugar consumption comes in. And so I can't have them as often as I had in the past. And last night, I desperately, desperately wanted an iced coffee. But neither of us, I didn't have time and he didn't have the energy. Nobody was going out to get one. If I was going to have coffee, it had to be what we had, or I was drinking water.
Right.
And those are all perfectly reasonable things, except I had a really bad reaction to that.
And on top of this, one of the reasons why I did not let her have a special coffee treat last night is because the day before and the day before that, she had a special coffee treat.
Now, let's clarify. My special coffee treat is nothing like what it used to be. It used to be filled with chocolate syrup and a whole bunch of flavored creamer and tons of sugar.
It is a very toned down
version. Way toned down. Absolutely. Yeah, and way less of it. I mean, there were times I was drinking three iced coffees a day.
She's not having Frappuccinos with everything in it.
No, I'm not. I'm not having another Frappuccino to my birthday, which is October 30th.
Right.
So, yeah. It's scaled back, but it's this comfort to me. I love, because I have such good.
But it's still a treat.
It's still a treat. And I love, love, love iced coffee. So that was last night, and that was a bad tape, and that was a baby girl moment. So today, before we go to record the episode, I'm great. So we have the agreement. I have this big, gigantic bottle, purple bottle that I use for water, and I have to drink at least two of those a day.
Correct.
So in my head, I go, okay, I will drink two of those, and then I can get an unsweet iced tea, or I can, you know, ask if I can have a coffee or whatever. So I'm sucking on my second one right now, and we're getting ready to record, and I'm like, oh, I'm drinking this water. And he's like, okay. I said, I want coffee. He said, yeah, I know you want coffee. No, you do not understand. I want an iced coffee. When we are done here, I'm thinking I'm going to McDonald's. Now, I ask like this. I have not asked yet for permission. I'm going to McDonald's, where it's $1.49. I'm getting a gigantic fucking iced coffee, and everybody better get out of my way when I get to that drive-thru. I'm having the iced coffee. So I feel very strongly about iced coffee. That's all I got. I mean, everything's been work and then more work. And it's good work, and it's great, and it's a bad problem. It's a great problem to have, but it's...
Right.
That's my life right now is work.
True. Tomorrow night we're doing something a little different.
We are doing something a little different.
One of the things we have been thinking about doing here, not in the near future, but definitely something that we're looking at in the future, is to do some, what do you call it, like?
Public speaking.
So one of Kayla's clients is starting a thing at one of their shops here locally where they are having someone come in to talk about
sex.
And we are attending that tomorrow night to see what it's like, what it's about, and just kind of see what it's all about.
I know. So problem is this goes live like early, early Friday morning. Most people won't hear it. But if you are in the Tampa Bay area.
Tampa, St. Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. And you would like to go to that event too. Not just because we're going, but that's perfectly fine reason. You can, as long as you hear this on September 29th before about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, if you email us, message us, whatever, then
I'll give you the details. It starts at what? 6 p.m.
Yeah,
it
goes
on
till
7:30.
Right. So.
2017.
Right, 2017.
September 29th, 2017.
But yeah, if this triggers something in us and we're like, oh yeah, I think maybe we should. We did get an invite to maybe do something similar in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Because Professor Sex is awesome and we love her.
Yes, she is.
And the only only thing that's slowing that down is I've got to find a place to put my children while I do stuff like
well,
that.
Well, yeah.
I don't mind a road trip to that part of Florida at all.
No, not at all.
And, look forward to it, actually. But
my part, we would have done it already if it wasn't for the wedding coming up, too.
Well, yes. And I keep telling a lot of people, I've got a lot of people going, well, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? I'm like, I gotta get married first.
Yeah.
It's not a ton of money. We're not having a big expensive wedding at all.
But it's still a lot to do.
But it's a lot to do. And it is a chunk of money that I'm really grateful this time next year I will not be paying out.
Yes.
And I'm also wishing, why couldn't this be our first marriages so my mom would pay for it? Right. And that is, I don't think I would at 30... 37, I'll be almost 38 on the day we get married. I don't think I would have asked her to pay for it at this age, but she already did hers a long time ago. So she's out. She's just showing up in her cute dress that I helped her pick out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've got to make sure I actually fit into my dress.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. So there's a lot going on, and we've got all kinds of stuff we want to do.
Right.
Which... we just got to have the ability to do it.
Right.
So we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely working on that. So yeah, you know, it's been quiet, but it's been goofy
and busy. Dizzy and...
Ooh, very dizzy. Very dizzy. I'm this big project I'm working on. I'm writing so much content every day that I go to bed and my hands actually ache.
Yeah.
And then on my days off, like I'll try and take like a Saturday where I don't write, or a Sunday, and doesn't always work, but I try. And in the time when I'm not typing, I'll get aches in my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. So, yeah.
But you know, kind of going back to your rewards journal, I've been enjoying that. I mean,
which part about it is?
I really enjoyed giving you your reward the other night. That
I really enjoyed you giving me my reward too. It's great. I had we count 14?
14 orgasms.
With the Hitachi.
Yeah.
While my feet were tied to the bed.
Yep.
Yeah, it was hot. It was great.
It was.
It was great.
And it was amazing how at least four, maybe even five of those times, your feet being tied to the bed, and you just sat bolt upright.
Which actually didn't help me because it pressed my clip further into the Hitachi's head. I was like, and the thing is what I wish...
So you can do sit-ups.
I can, with the right incentive. What I wish is I had the freedom to scream, because the Hitachi will make me scream.
Yes.
Not everything makes me scream, even if I'm coming real hard and real big. The Hitachi will make me scream, and you can't do that with children down the way and neighbors on the other side of the wall. And that's what I wish I could do, because I really think that my orgasms would be bigger if I could allow myself the bigger verbal expression.
What was really funny, one time you did scream and you just kind of let it out, and then you were like, oh wait, I can't do that.
So yeah, this positive reinforcement thing is working well for both of us.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So
yeah,
but that's about it.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. The sub meeting's coming up. I do have a topic in mind, so that'll be cool.
Good.
For anybody who can make it. And if you can't make it to the actual live stream, it is available to watch.
I will be heading into a new month, so the online munch will be coming along.
First Saturday, whatever that date is. Mm-hmm. And then we've got to get the other two meetings scheduled.
Right.
And I want to do that this week before the end of the month. So it's on. We have a calendar in the community as well, so you can always see the dates there.
Yeah.
I know my intention with all that free time I've got, I want to make a video of a screencast video where I walk people through all the elements of the community to go, this is this and here's this. Of course, a lot of people access it from their mobile and it looks different
totally
on mobile.
Different,
I don't know. But at least it'll give people an idea of what is there.
Right.
So that's also on the list.
Mm-hmm.
My list is constantly growing. It never gets shorter. That's okay. I love it. Okay.
We good?
Oh, we try to be.
Yeah. Not be good at it.
God, I hope so. After 101 of these damn things, I
better be heading
right. I've had
direction.
Several people tell me recently that they binge listened from beginning to now. And first of all, oh my God, that's a lot of my voice, and I just wow. But I know they have to be able to tell the difference between it's night and it's got to be night and day. Not just in terms of sound quality and all the little technical things we did, but just in the ease and of just chatting and, you know. Yeah. Okay, we should probably let everybody go about their day.
Absolutely.
Our last episode was so long that Panda Kitten listened to the show and then had to listen to the bonus section later.
Goodness.
I know, and I'm sorry that we do
all
that.
All right.
Okay.
We love y'all.
We do. We love you so much.
Thanks for being with us and hanging in with us.
And yes, and sitting around our audio kitchen table.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah, I think that's right. Mm-hmm. And I really need a coffee, Daddy, like in a serious sort of way.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, I need a coffee. I need a coffee. Everybody cross your fingers for me. I need a coffee.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Love you. Mean it.